The Lord's really been speaking, and he's been ministering to all of us, and a theme is coming through, and if you just hear the prophetic words, it just encourages us to know that God is speaking, because he speaks with one voice, and he speaks the same thing through different people. And I'm just encouraged what I heard Sally bring, and what was on Ivan Franco's heart, and what Ivan brought was very, very foundational to what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And it's this thing of stepping out. You know, we can bring a good message and we can come to church, but if it's not changing us, it's really meaningless. That's the reason we are here. That's what God has done for us. And just remember what the foundations that were laid is the stepping out. And the message that, you know, I've been waiting on the Lord what to bring, and it's this very thing, is he's challenging us to step out. He's challenging us to go where he's called us to go. And I'm going to help us do that. I just believe God's wanting to settle a few things in our lives. And it's time that we made the commitment. You know, we're hearing that this church is going into a new place, a new season. He's calling us into growth. He's wanting to do something. But I believe the time has come today, this season, where we need to do something about it. So the lesson is called The Condition of Your Heart. The Condition of Your Heart. When last did you take a good look into your own heart? And I'm not talking about situations and circumstances. This morning, we're going to go into the depths and the core of our beings, into our hearts. Because God has been shouting this out very loudly at the moment. You know, it takes a lot of courage to look into your own heart. We don't do it, we avoid it. It takes a lot of courage to go deep into your heart because of a lot of the times we are scared of what we're going to find there. Today, we're going to go into the depths of our hearts. We're going to see what's there and we're going to settle some issues there because God's grace is here for us to do it. And I think there's a time where we need to do that. It's easy to go into somebody else's heart. How often do we judge someone else? That person's hardened his heart. That person is critical. Have you seen how this person's doing that? So easily we go into other people's hearts, yet so seldom do we go into our own hearts. So seldom do we reflect on what's happening in our own hearts. So we are called. The word tells us, amazing, what Jesus has done for us. And that's what we focused on, Jesus, what he has done for us. He's called us to be priests of righteousness. He's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. He's given us truth. He's given us life. He's given us the ability to go and to change this world. He's called us to be his very own. He's transforming us and he's changing us into his very image, into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is glorious. This is hope. This is assurance. This is something to look forward to. We are changing. We are being transformed. We are being renewed. But how are you doing? In the depths of your heart, how are you doing? We are ambassadors for his kingdom. So we need to go out there and carry the heart of the Father into this world. And one of the things that I want to help do today in us is help build our foundations a little bit. Help enlarge our foundations. You see, because in the heart, that's where our foundations are laid in our own life. What's happening in our hearts is how big we can build. What's happening in our hearts is where we can go. It determines our boldness to get out there into the world and to speak. Our hearts have to be established. Like foundations, You know, if you're a builder, you know you got when you build a house, you got to lay a foundation. So we're laying foundations. Jesus is laying foundations in our very lives, in our hearts. And a foundation determines a few things. It determines the shape of the building. Like your heart, it determines the shape of your life. You know, you can build a little square. You're going to have a little square house. Or do you want to build large? Do you want to extend your tent pegs? Do you want to influence? Because then we've got to lay big foundations. We've got to put down those foundations of our lives. How many people are you influencing? How's the foundation of your heart doing? Let's start building. Let's build these foundations of our hearts. So it determines the shape. Another thing it determines the size of the house. If I'm just building this, that's the size of the house. But if I'm laying foundations, if I'm searching my heart, if I'm truly going into the depths of it, I'm moving, I'm establishing myself, I'm laying bigger foundations in my life so that I can build bigger, so that I can build for Jesus, so that I can extend his kingdom, so that I can reach out. And a foundation determines how high we can build. If our foundations are crumbling, you know, if we just surface people, if we're just touching the surface of what God's doing in our lives and we're not going into the depths of our heart, into the center, into the core, and we're not building big foundations, we can't get very high, we can't go very high, we can't reach out very far. So I want us today, we're going to settle the first few things. We're going to extend the foundations of our lives. We're going to extend the foundations of our hearts because we need to be reaching out. Jesus has done it. We heard this morning, Jesus has done it all for us. If we rely on him, we can extend these foundations. And today we're going to look in how big is your heart for Jesus? How big are those foundations? Are you establishing them? Because today we need to build them. We need to dig out. We need to make sure they're big and they're secure. We need to shape them. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man." Me and you. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the hope that we have. I tell you, this world has got no purpose. Our purpose is to become the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our purpose. That's why we're here. That's why we're sawning through this world, as 1 Peter says. We're just visiting this earth. We're going back home. Our purpose is to grow, is to establish ourselves so we can establish others. It says, so that, why? So that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Are you growing up? Are you maturing? The only way you can do it, as I'm going to explain this morning, is if we go into the depths of our heart. I read this whilst I was preparing. I saw this. And another thing I want to say, there's so much stuff on Google, there's wonderful teachings, but really, stick to the Word and be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, those of us that teach, you know, you look at all material, and there's well-known preachers that have got books out there, and when you go back into the Word, some of it is not doctrine. So what I'm saying is, be careful what you're building, because some of that can cause your foundations to crumble. Sometimes it takes us off the Word, the truth, the Bible, and when the Holy Spirit is our teacher who leads us into all truth. And sometimes we look at this teaching and we look at this teaching and we look at this guy and he's a well-known authoritative and he's got books out. And when you really go back to the truth, it causes you to stumble because some of it's wrong. You see this guy and they contradict each other. Stick on the truth, the Word, your heart, the Holy Spirit. Frank always encourages us, is in us. He leads us into all truth. You have it. You have the fullness of it in you. Anyway, I read this article. It says, although mankind has made huge discoveries and has totally changed the way we live, it seems like we know less about ourselves than previous generations. While our ancestors didn't have all the modern conveniences, they had a peace and strength that eludes most today. As our knowledge of our natural world has increased, our knowledge of spiritual things has decreased. In man's arrogance, he blindly believes all of life's problems can be solved by himself. But there can be no peace without if there isn't peace within. How are you doing? There is a whole universe that man in all his wisdom is ignorant of. That is the world of the spirit. And we're not just talking about the spiritual realm outside of us, but also the spiritual being inside of every person. We aren't evolved animals. We were created in God's image and likeness. We are spirit beings. The ultimate way to control bad behavior isn't more laws, metal detectors, or social engineering. It's changing the hearts of people. Our hearts. Jesus changes our hearts. So I'm going to teach us a little bit about the heart, what I believe the heart does, how we can change it, how it works within us. And I'm gonna say, for me, I'm not making this doctrine, I'm saying this is where I am and how I see the heart and how it's going to help you to change. It's what helps align everything up in our life. And I'm just going to touch on body, soul, and spirit. But the heart takes all of those and lines it up. It's what has the power to change the course of our action. You see, our minds can change, can do certain things, but if our hearts aren't doing it, it actually won't change our course of action. Our hearts have to be in it. Our hearts have to be committed into it. Our hearts have to be given to it. Matthew 6:19-20 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where are your treasures and where are you laying them up? And I would say, your treasures, what your treasures are, will determine what your heart looks like. What are your treasures? What are your values? What's important to you? Because that will determine your heart. So how is your heart today? I'm going to ask you a few times because I want us to get into our hearts. Let's reflect. Why? Because Matthew 5 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who wants to see God? Who wants to see God, what he is? I want to. You need a pure heart. Matthew 13:15 says, for the heart of his people have grown dull. I tell you, we can be alive in the flesh and alive in what we say, but we've got to be careful because our hearts can grow dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Yeah, we come here, we can hear, but are you listening? Is it getting into your heart? Is it getting all the way through? Is it penetrating? And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes. And that lest is, if only. If only they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest, if only, they should understand with their hearts and turn. So that I should heal them. Has your heart maybe grown dull? Has it maybe got a veil over it? It needs to be removed. Jesus has removed the veil. He's taken it away. And Matthew 15:8 says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Lord, I love you. I give you all. I honor you with my mouth and with my lips. but their hearts are far from me. Is your heart close to the Father, to Jesus? Have you given him your heart? Not lip service, not bodily reactions, not the mind, the heart. So just quickly, to help us on this, I want us to look at and this isn't a teaching, but it's going to help us understand it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So we know that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. The word tells us in a few places, body, soul, and spirit. So just quickly, here I am. I'm soul. Here's my body. Let's just say this is my body, my outward body, this natural body, and this is my spirit. Okay. And here I am, the soul. I'm made up of all these. Okay. What's the body? This is my body, created out of dust, returning to dust. We know that it's been corrupted through the fall of man. Okay. We know it's got senses, it's got hearing, it's got smell, it's got sight, it's got touch, it's got taste. It's got a relationship to the world. This body has got a relationship to the world. It's corrupt. It's got lusts. It's got wants. It's been contaminated by Satan through the fall of man. Okay? It was corrupted. It's got desires after the world. Yes. Thanks to Jesus Christ, that has been broken. The laws and the demands have been broken. Jesus Christ, the demands Satan used to put on us, and he accuses us, and he put those demands on us, and he accused us that we need to be punished for our sins. Jesus has broken that off. So there's no more accusations, there's no more lies, but the body still lusts. It still is alive. And here I am, soul, and we've got spirit. So the soul, what's the soul? That's me, that's my character. That's who I am. It's my emotions. It's my will. It's my conscience. Okay? That's my soul. Then we've got spirit. The spirit's been renewed through Jesus Christ. It was dormant, lay dead. My flesh was alive. But through Jesus Christ, I've become alive. That's where I connect to Jesus. Okay? It's where my senses lie, where my discernment is, where my hope is, where I worship, where I pray through the spirit. All right, so I've just laid a bit of a foundation, and what I believe is we've got these two laws, we know, operating within us. The law of the flesh, as Paul tells us, and the law of the spirit. And you know, we think once we become Christians, and once we've been saved, and the demands of death has been cut off, and Satan no longer has rights over us anymore. Jesus Christ has purchased us into his kingdom. But the flesh is still here. And when we die, our flesh doesn't die. This doesn't go. We still got lusts. We need to die to it. We need to cut off that relationship to the flesh and live according to the Spirit and give ourselves to the Spirit. But how do we do that? Heart. You see, the heart brings those together. If my heart is in it, it takes all of this and it aligns it up. And I'm not pulled in different directions. It all come together. It's confusing, but we need to understand this to know what God wants from us. Okay. Because it's amazing how much attention we give to this body. How much thought we give to this body. How much time we give to it. It's lusts we give to it. We feed it. It's demands upon us. We feed it and we give it. Yet the word says, cut your relationship off to it. Let it die. Deny it. Focus here. We spoke the other day about focus. Focus on the Spirit. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the thing that's come alive in you, your heart. Yet we're so scared to go there. So Romans 13, verse 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." And that's something we need to just understand is we have died on the cross. Our flesh was nailed to the cross. So we, the soul, dies to the flesh. cut off your relationship today. Cut off your relationship to the flesh. Don't gratify its desires and its demands upon you, because you're going to see what it does to you. Let's look at the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3 says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people." Paul is speaking to the church, to born-again believers, filled with the Spirit. By the way, the Spirit of God dwells within the heart that brings it all up, the thing that aligns all this up, the thing that works from the outward, from the inside out. You see, when we gratify the flesh, it works from the outside into me, but we should be working with what's in us out, because that brings life and freedom. But anyway, Paul says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh." You focused on the flesh instead of the Spirit. You know how to keep the flesh alive, but you should be putting the flesh to death. You see, this is decaying, this is dying, this is going back to the earth, where dust. Our body dies, yet we give it so much attention. We give so much attention to a dying, decaying body, instead of giving attention to the very Spirit that gives us life and freedom and hope and joy and peace, that makes us priests of righteousness and ministers of reconciliation. This is where we should be dwelling. This is where the heart is. This is what the heart brings out. It overcomes that flesh that's dying and decaying. Don't give so much attention to a dying body. It says the body is dying, but our spirit is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. Our spirits are being renewed day by day. But our body should be dying day by day. So it says, "But people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, but I believe we are a people who are getting ready. We're going to be a Spirit-filled people. God has been preparing it through the prophetic words that we've been hearing. We are a people who are going to live in the Spirit. We are going to be alive, and we're going to partake of what God is doing in our lives. We're going to have a people of heart, pure hearts, right hearts. Even now you are not yet ready," he says to them, "for you are still in the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" Is there jealousy? Is there strife? Is there complaining? Is there criticism in you? Put it away. We are not people of flesh. We are people of the Spirit. Die to that. Yes, it's alive. A lot of us think, "Oh, Jesus, take it away." No, you die to it. He has taken it away. Don't let Satan accuse you. He comes and he accuses you. You see, Satan, the power of overcoming is you say to Satan, "No, you have no right over this anymore. You cannot accuse me. You cannot bring bondage. I am free, and free indeed." Cut off that relationship. So, now we understand these two laws that are working within me. This law that's pulling me this way, and this law that's pulling me this way. But the heart gives you the power. The heart gives you the power to bring it to where you want to go. Galatians 5, 16, 18. "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." If you're not growing as a Christian, if you're not going where God's telling you to go, if you're not building yourself up, if you're not making inroads and impacts, that's because you are torn between the two. You know what? You haven't settled it in your heart yet. You haven't settled it in your heart that you are a spiritual being, that you are given to Christ, that you are given to Him, and you're going to do His will. You haven't settled it in your heart that I'm cutting off this lust, I'm cutting off the desires, I'm cutting off the lusts of my flesh, and I'm following in this. It's a heart thing. You have to give your heart to one. You cannot have a heart that's given two things. You cannot serve two masters. And it's in your heart that you serve. Who are you serving? We can be serving both. But the Lord would say, don't be hot or cold. Choose. Rather be hot. Don't be lukewarm. A little bit of this, lukewarm. Either be hot or be cold. So I'm going to ask you, are you battling in this area of your life? Are you battling in this area? Are you torn between the two? Are you not growing because you haven't settled this in your heart? So I'm going to use some examples. Last time I was up here, I gave us a bird course. Albatrosses. Today we're going to do wheel alignment. So I was driving in my car and I was thinking about this and just spending some time with the Lord, and he likened these two laws. I was asking him about the two laws to wheel alignment. And we drive in a car, but if our wheel alignment, the alignment of our hearts, if our wheel alignment is not right, it's going to pull us off course. It's going to pull us in the wrong direction. So here I am, the soul is me in my car. You know, the body is the body, and the engine maybe is like the spirit. You know, mine's got a big V8. The spirit, but the wheels are the heart. You see, with no wheels, you're not going anywhere. With no heart, you're not going anywhere with the Lord. You need heart. It's where the rubber meets the road. But it has to be in alignment, you see. It has to be chosen over the spirit. Because if your alignment is out, if you're hot or cold, it's going to be pulling you in this direction. And then it's going to be pulling you in this direction, but you're actually not going where you want to go. You have to do something about it. You see, you've got to take the car to Tiger Wheels or whoever, super, super quick, and they've got to fix it. But what we do is the Holy Spirit's really done for it. We can fix our own alignment once we choose to do something in our hearts. So how's the alignment of your heart? How's your heart doing? Is it tugging you in two directions? Because you won't get to where you go. It's tiring. It's tiring holding that car like this. And eventually what it does is it actually wears the tires down. It starts to get dangerous. That's what happens when your heart's not aligned. It starts to wear you down. You start to go into dangerous grounds, and then you can't stop, and you have an accident. So I'm going to give you some examples. See if you can relate to this with heart and spirit and mind, to line it up. You see, I was at the Vol, and many, many years ago, before I was saved, before I was a reborn Christian, I had some good friends, and we were quite rough, and a lot of them were Italians. They were, you know, hot-blooded Italians, and we used to get up to a lot of mischievous things. And we used to go to the Vol Dam. A friend who owned a restaurant, he had a lovely property on the Vol Dam, and we used to go there in the evenings, and we used to have fun, and we used to play soccer and volleyball and that. And one day it was freezing cold. It was winter. And, you know, in those days you had to be tough, you know. You were the man, you know, and you all did things and you proved yourself, you know. And we were playing soccer and it was ice cold, and kicked the ball and the ball went into the river. And it went off into the river. Us and, you know, we all stopped, and all the guys, all these tough guys were there. I said, "Don't worry, I'll get it." Yeah. See, my mind was willing. I said, "I'll get it. I want to get it. I want to prove to myself how, show them how tough I am. Craig, the tough guy." So I got my mind. I said, "All right, with my mind, I'm going there. I want to get that ball. My mind is set on getting it because I'm going to prove myself." Then I got my body ready and I took all my clothes off. Obviously, I had my undies on. And I said, "Yeah, I'm going." They said, "Hey, go, Craig. Ish." And I got to the water and I couldn't get in. My heart let me down. See, my heart wasn't in it. My heart stopped me because something stopped me. My mind was willing. I said, "Go, Craig. Jump in. Are you going to be the man? You know, go. Look, you're all dressed up. You're ready. You're in your undies here in front of all the guys. Go." And my heart was holding me back. I hadn't settled it in my heart. My heart was telling me other things. That my heart was telling me it's freezing cold. It's ice cold. You're going to jump in there and you're going to die. You're going to lose your breath and you're going to sink to the bottom. You see, we need to settle certain things in my heart. I had to line my heart up with the whole thing. If I line my heart up and said, it's not, I know it, I'm going, when all of me is in, spirit, heart, soul, body, then I go. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a push, because what happened is my friends came and they threw me in. You see, they aligned my heart up for me. So I'm going to help us align our hearts up so we can go where we want to go, because sometimes we need a push. Sometimes we need a throw. I got the ball. And I told them, if you kick it in again, I'm not going to get it. So what I want us to do is I'm asking you, come on, let's really look at our hearts. Like I've said with the mind, you know, our mind doesn't change us. We change our mind. Our mind doesn't change us. But our heart changes us. A man's heart who is changed gets to where he was wanting to go. So have you ever said, Lord, tonight, you know, you pray with him and you said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to do your work. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to be the light. I'm going to be the soul to this earth. I'm going to make a difference. You go to bed, and then you wake up, and then I'm going to use, obviously, married with Thora will say, are you making coffee? And straight away, I get my back up. Like, what do you mean? I'm making coffee. I know you made coffee the last two mornings, but are you trying to say something? Yeah. You know, and I get my back up. It's like, so yes, I'll go make coffee, but you know, not because you told me, because I want to, you know. and then you get to go to the shops, and you go in the car, and you see a park in there, and as you get there, poof, another car gets in, and you get irritated. You actually say, you know, I'm going to actually park, and I'm going to go speak to that guy. That was my parking. You know, why did he have to happen to be there at this time, when I was going to go into that parking? You see, but you've made your mind up that, you know, Lord, I'm going to be right today. You know, and then you get into the queue, and then you're standing there, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a priest of God, and I'm a priest of righteousness, minister of reconciliation. You're standing there, and now there's only one teller. And now you're getting irritated. You're getting irritated. You're actually getting upset. You start saying to the people behind you, can you believe it? And there's only one teller. You know, I'm sort of, I've got a little bit of a big mouth. I start saying, aren't there any other tellers here? Only one teller. And then you go, and then this taxi cuts in front of you, and then you just want to have it. You're saying, you know, if I had a screwdriver in this car now, I'm telling you, I'm going to stab him here in the neck. And you have all these thoughts, but you know, it's not any of those conditions that made me like that. It was my heart. Because the other day, you can go through a day and you can bless people, and there can be one teller, and you can say, no problem, shame. You know what? They're all having a hard day, got nowhere to be. You see, it's a heart condition. It's a conditioning of our heart. It's not situations, it's not circumstances, it's our heart. I'll tell you another story, and you can relate to this because it's actually quite serious, because we have to get our hearts right. So I was counseling a friend who's been married. I actually married him in church, married them, and they were having marital problems. And when I was speaking to him, he said, yeah, you know, Craig, I actually don't know if she's right for me anymore. Maybe there's another woman that's actually right for me. You see, he hadn't settled his heart. His mind told him, oh, no, she's right. I'm married to her. But his heart had grown dull. His heart had been veiled. His heart had moved. It was divided. And I can tell you, some of us do that. Sometimes we fight. Sometimes we're wondering about our spouses, you know. Sometimes we're wondering if we're in the right work situation. Is this the right work for me? Maybe I must find another job. It's a heart condition. It's not what Jesus wants for us. You know, this church, is this the right church for me? If your heart's divided, you're never going to go where God wants you to go, because he works with a aligned heart. One heart cannot be divided. God saw it when they were building the Tower of Babel. He said, you know, a united people with one heart can achieve anything. Satan knows the power of the heart, so he'll want to divide you. So how are you doing? You know, I want to know. And just something that came to me is, have you been reading your Bible lately? Because it will show you your heart. You know, do you read it? This is 2 Corinthians 4:16, by the way. Just a lovely scripture that I threw in here. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Do you read like that? Or do you put your heart into it? Do you say, Lord, come into the core of my being. Show me what this means. Or do you read it? That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small. Our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things that we see now will be gone, and the things we cannot see will last forever. See, that's heart. How are you reading your Bible? Because if you read it with a heart, it will penetrate your heart. It will change you. It will move you. Has your heart grown a bit cold? Has it got a bit hard? And we're going to get to the crux now, where we're actually going to be changing hearts, where we're going to commit today, because you can't leave your hearts as they are. Mark 3:3-5 says, this is Jesus. He was going to heal a man with a withered hand, and he told him to step forward. Then he said to them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the righteous men who had hard hearts, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he looked at them, and when he looked around at them with anger, Jesus, angry because he saw their hearts, and being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, said to the man, stretch out your heart. You see, Jesus, God, what does it say? He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the intents of the heart. He looks at our hearts. Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, this is God speaking through the prophet. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Heart. If you're not doing his statutes, if you're finding it hard, if you find you're breaking it, if you find you're not going there, your heart has been hardened and you need a new heart today. In an instant you get it. You see, the enemy will keep you away from changing your heart. He will distract you. He'll bring hardships on you. He'll do this. He'll do everything so that you don't get to the heart. You see, the habits of heart will cause you to become miserable, will cause you to become grumpy, it will cause you to become difficult, it will cause you to become short-tempered. Your heart. Do you feel like that at the moment? You feel like there's a tornado going in your life. Whatever's coming in, it just goes, shoop. It doesn't get to your heart. It's because Satan is distracting you, he's making you busy. He's not letting you get to the heart, deal with the heart issues. Okay. So, what do you find yourself continually thinking of? Because that's your heart issues. You know, when you go to bed, are you thinking of golf? Or are you thinking of maybe your job tomorrow? Or are you thinking of problems? You know, what are you thinking of? Because if you're thinking about the Word, and if you're filled with prayer, and you're meditating on, that's what's in your heart. What are you finding yourself continually? Are you continually thinking, I want to be better, Lord? You know, change me. I'm working with you. You know, I'm pressing in here. I'm cutting off this. I'm getting to understand how this all works. That's what's in your heart. Because out of your heart is what you speak. Does your heart need alignment and conditioning? So let's not resist our hearts today. Let's do something with them. If you feel a little bit cold, if you feel a little bit hot, if you feel you haven't committed yourself fully to the Lord, if you feel you've been tugged in two directions, let's align it this morning. Let's change it. Let's ask God to give us new hearts. Let's change our focus. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you before, and just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. So it's a case of putting off now in your heart, cutting off the old self, the old man, the old ways that we give so much attention to, yet he's dying, it's decaying, it's pulling us with it. It's cutting it off, putting those things off, and putting on a new, clean, pure heart filled with love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience. Against such there is no law. So how do we do it? What are we going to do today? Well, one, you've got to have the desire to do it. You need to admit that my heart needs to change today. My heart needs to change. Two, you need to repent of your old self and turn away. Repent means to say, I don't like this anymore. I'm sorry, Lord, for this. I'm cutting off. One of the versions of the Bible says, cut off the relationship to your flesh and put on the relationship to the Spirit. Okay? Three, believe in your heart. Believe in your heart, not in your mind. Not on the surface, not surface deep, not skin deep, that's body, but to the heart, to the core of your very being. Believe in your heart that Christ has given you everything to change and confess it with your mouth. Three, commit. Commit. Commit to God and to each other. You see, we hold each other accountable. You see, when I commit my heart, because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Get people to hold you accountable. If you say, I've committed my heart to this thing, when you get somebody to hold you accountable, your heart is actually more in it. It's more given, and you don't want to break it because you've been held accountable. Sometimes we need to be held accountable. Action. You change and you apply it daily until it becomes your default. You know, like a computer's got a default. A default needs to become the Word of God, the Spirit of God, thinking after Him, praying after Him, worshiping Him, doing His work. Then you dedicate yourself to His Word and fellowship. And the last thing is it takes courage. It's the courage to actually get up and say, I need a change of heart and I'm going to commit to those things. Amen. Total surrender. So I'm going to ask us this morning, don't leave it, because the enemy will come and rob away what you're feeling now. And you may be a reborn Christian, and you may be doing well, but you know my heart has still got some areas that need to change. And let's commit. You know, when we say stand up or come to the front, it's actually a commitment. You know what you do? You hold up and you commit it to the Lord. You're holding yourself accountable and you're actioning it. So we're going to pray for you guys. If you want a change of heart, you want to be totally given, and if you know you've been holding back for some reason, you've been holding back over something that's dying and perishing and decaying, well, I don't know. But I'm saying change your heart and give it all to life, to God, to Jesus, to what brings life, to what's been renewed and what changes you. So let's stand up and let's pray for you. And afterwards, if you really want to continue to pray and be held accountable, come to the front and then we want to pray for you personally. I'm going to do a general prayer. But if you're really taking this seriously, I really believe then come to this front and ask somebody to come and pray for you that you want to commit your heart fully to the Lord Jesus. So stand up if you want that. Now, when we bow our heads, give your hearts to the Lord. Give your hearts to this. Father, I just thank you for what you are doing. I thank you that you've given this church, Church on the Way, promises that we believe in, that we stand for, that we understand. Father, you've done everything for us. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, who purchased us with his very own life. He saw us as worthy that he died for us so that we can have the fullness of life. Lord, the only thing holding us back is our hearts. It's choices. The only thing that's stopping us to be everything that you died for us to be, to become, is our hearts, our stubborn, hard, dull hearts. And today we want to change them. Today we want to give you our very beings. We want total surrender. Father, we want to give you our hearts today. Lord, may you just fill us. May you flood us. Father, today we dedicate ourselves to you afresh and new to do what you've called us to be. Father, help us to take these hearts and to run with you. Lord, let us cut off our relationship to the flesh, the things that lust and desire after, the things that are decaying and the things that are dying, that are passing away. And Father, let us give ourselves to the Spirit, to the newness, to the freshness, the things that are being regenerated, restored, that live forever and ever and are going to be with you forever and ever. The things that bring hope and assurance and glory and life, Father, that bring us truth and power and might so that we can be priests of righteousness and ministers of reconciliation, that we can do your work, that we can go and we can love and we can be good and we can be filled with joy and we can be filled with goodness and gentleness, that we can be filled with patience and kindness, that we can do your work, that we can have power to go out and impart life and truth to this world, to this dark and dying world that we bring life to, that we can bring change. Father, I just pray that you do this now in Jesus' name. We give you our hearts. May we look into our hearts. May we have courage to go there and to bring this through daily. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There's coffee and tea afterwards. But if you want to do something more, if you want somebody to pray with you, come to the front. If you want our heart to be changed, really, don't let it stop here.